All right, sweet. All right, I'm ready when you are.
Okay, yeah. Well, guys, welcome to our end of the season, end of the year, whatever you want to call it, wrap-up podcast that we do each season. This is, I guess it's our favorite horror films of the year. Technically, that's the theme. We usually end up with like housekeeping and trying to wrap things up and in other ways as well. We're also going to be naming our podcast listener of the year, who I happen to have a text from, but they don't know anything about that. It's just a coincidence.
Oh my gosh.
So that's interesting in itself. And I have a few other texts too that we can talk about. And I even have an email that someone sent me about our last episode, which is worthy of reading because it does answer some questions for us. So yeah, we've got some things to cover here. So I don't know what you want to start with, but
yeah,
my name is Troy Taylor, by the way, and I'm one of the co-hosts of American Hauntings, and with me is my friend and editor and jack of all trades, Cody Beck.
That's me. I would say, since this is an unconventional episode, that maybe let's get some of the housekeeping stuff out of the way, and then
sure,
let's dive into
sure
the other stuff.
Yeah, that sounds great. So yeah, I do want to mention a couple of things. I did mention at the end or at the beginning, I guess, of our last episode that Dead of Winter is coming up quick. Yeah, February 1st, faster than we're used to. So we do still have some availability for some of the VIP and the after hour events on that. So check that out if you get a chance. You can just go to AmericanHauntings.net and do that, and you can see what we've got coming up. If you're not familiar with Dead of Winter, it is our annual food drive. We've got the Alton Food Bank that we support with that. We also support, this year, we're going to be supporting the Warming Center in town as well. Admission to the event, the daytime event, is free. We'll have speakers. Cody and I will be doing a live episode of the podcast. All that stuff is free. All you need to do is bring some kind of canned good or non-perishable food item that will go to the food banks. We'd like to see if we can continue our trend of getting more food each year. We get a bigger and bigger bunch every season. So we're hoping that we can make it even bigger this year. So anyway, we hope to see you there. And as I said, check it out. If you're interested in any of the after hour events, we have the Appalachian Witches are returning. They're doing a new after hours reading. I'm going to be doing a dinner event afterward on Friday night. I'm doing a Great Rivers tour that goes up to Pure Marquette for fried chicken. That in itself is worthy of, you know, being there. Check it out. If you get a chance, we'd love to see you. Also, before the new season will begin, season 9 begins, tickets were going to go on sale, are going to go on sale for the 2025 Haunted America Conference. That is January 6th when those tickets go on sale. We've got our vendor spaces on sale right now, but general admission and after hour tickets go on sale January 6th. But you can check it out now and see what we've got coming up. And I do have a couple more things I'm going to add, but you can check out the website at ghostconference.net. So that'll get you all the info that you need for Haunted America this year. So
people are
going to hear from us. I've got some things that are going to be popping up between now and the time those tickets go on sale, or at least between now and the time that our next season starts in January. You know, just as a reminder, don't forget that January 6th is when those tickets go on sale.
Nice. How did your book sale or your book signing go the other day?
It was fine. Yeah, we had a good time. Yeah. And we had a dinner that evening. The Christmas dinner that I do every year was that evening. So that was fun, too. For those who couldn't attend, and this is I swear to God, the last time I'm going to mention the GoFundMe thing that we did to help us recover from the hack and the theft and everything. But I am doing tonight, when you guys hear this, it'll be tonight, December 17th. I am doing a live stream Christmas event on Zoom. And if you like, it doesn't cost a thing to attend. Not really. I guess there's a catch, but it's really set up for everyone who donated for the GoFundMe campaign. So if you'd like to attend, all you got to do is donate and then send me an email, and I will send you the link that you can join up with the Zoom. And that's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Central Time. We have a lot of people who are signed up for that. So, yeah, if you're interested, you know, drop a buck or two and join us. Send us the email and you can join us for the Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
And that'll be tonight when you hear this.
So. I'll be popping in. I know you don't know that, but I was anonymous, but I'm going to get the info from you because I donated to you, and I'll be jumping in there, and I'm excited.
Oh, good. Good.
Awesome. Okay. So do we want to do the podcast listener of the year stuff? Do we want to do the
email let me do the email, and then let me do the texts that I have. I only have a few. And then I'll end it with the text that I have from our podcast listener of the year.
Who doesn't even know it.
Who doesn't have any idea yet.
Oh, we're gonna prank them so hard.
Yeah, but this is the email that I got, and it is about the last episode, the Amityville episode. They said, "Hi, Tori and Cody." This comes from Leslie, and it says, "Hi, Tori and Cody. Want to let you know I truly enjoy the podcast. Fact that you clear up many myths about so many cases, one of my favorite parts. I want to fill you in some interesting info about your Amityville episode. You did a really good job, first of all, but I thought you'd be interested in some additional facts on the case. The first case that I planned to put in my book was the Amityville crime itself. The book was sort of whatever happened to the perpetrators of infamous murders after the smoke cleared and they are behind bars. And now it's just a DIN number. That's what anyway. So Ronald DeFeo Jr. died before I could visit him in prison for the research for that was for naught. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she said, let's start with the father. He worked for his father-in-law in the car dealership. His in-laws were against their marriage, and they didn't speak to Louise until they found out they were going to be grandparents. And it was Louise's father that bought them the house in Amityville. And she said the mob was involved. Louise's father, Michael Briganti Jr., was connected to New York mafia crime families. It was said that the car dealership was a good way to launder money. And since Ron Sr. kept the books, he was kind of tied into it after all, because we weren't sure. You asked me and I really didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then says, but let's put a pin in that for now. And it says, Cody brought up the subject of family being drugged on the night of the murders. There were tox screens done, but nothing was found. Since it was the early 70s, I'm sure they were only limited in what they scanned for. Now, Butch said over the years that he did drug them, but there was also the scenario that the parents were sleeping, but the children were forced to lay on their stomachs. So we don't know for sure. And then adds that I do not believe that no one in the neighborhood heard, you know, didn't hear the gunshots. I believe because everyone in the neighborhood knew of their mob connections that they just said they heard nothing. Mm-hmm. The house itself sits sideways in the lot and the one neighbor is super close. So I'm sure they heard something. Also, they all said they heard the dog barking. Butch had tied the dog outside before beginning the murders. The dog hated him and he hated the dog. So he had to keep it out of the house while he completed his mission. Also, one last thing, and this is another thing we didn't know. Finally, the reason he was charged with second degree murder rather than first is because in New York State at the time, first degree murder was only used for the murders of law enforcement and first responders.
So
that's a few updates. So that's some cool information because that's a couple of things there I did not know. So.
I hadn't even thought about the fact that you can intimidate children.
Probably
intimidate.
We assume no one woke up, but maybe they did.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, but I mean, yeah, you can intimidate anybody with a gun, but especially your big brother when you're a child.
Yeah. Who you already know is trouble anyway.
Wow. So. Yeah. And the first degree thing. I just assumed. Let's make sure we put this guy away for life. And if we go for first degree, we might have a higher chance of losing.
That's what I thought too. But yeah, apparently that was a thing at the time.
So thanks.
I wasn't aware of that. Yeah,
thanks for all that info. That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I appreciate it too. So
there's a house in a neighborhood that I live in actually that I drive by and I noticed it today that has that kind of Amityville, like flat top and then the windows.
Those windows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like a little arch thing. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my Amityville. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, go on.
Well, I was going to read some of the texts that we have on the haunt line.
Please.
If you guys want to text, it may not all get on the show, but at least I'll try to answer the ones I can while we're off for the holidays here, if I'm around the office and when I'm around the office. But if you are interested, just send your messages to 217-791-7859. The first one I want to read is from our friend Bob. I mentioned in the last episode of the podcast that he said something about his text being that Garth Brooks had written a song. Okay, you ready? This is a groaner.
He already messed me.
Did he tell you? I've got friends in crawl spaces. Yes, yeah,
I loved it. I've got friends in crawl. Yeah. He honestly said, "That's kind of funny."
No, I did groan. When I saw it, I groaned.
I think it's beautiful. Thank you, Bob.
I know. So, all right. So, this one comes to us from, it's from Tirza in Colorado, but living in Ohio. She said, just finished the latest episode on Amityville. Appreciate you explaining how most of the story was a hoax. I've never been a fan of the Warrens. Drives me crazy. So many people simply believed everything they said about their investigations. They claim to have called the Catholic Archdiocese for help for many of their cases, but people looked into it and found this wasn't the case. And as it turns out, I did lie myself because I mentioned that I would not be talking about them again on the podcast. That is an absolute utter lie, as you already know, Cody, because you knew this at the time. I was mistaken. It wasn't an intentional lie, but
right.
They'll be back. Anyway, thanks to you and Cody for all you do. Health and happiness to both you in the holiday season and in the new year.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that people don't just believe like whatever they read immediately anymore, like that we've gotten past. Anyway, go ahead with the next step.
Yeah. This one comes from Karen in the 971. Just want to say I love the show. I lost my mom in April, so I wanted to let Cody know my heart is with him. And talks about the Facebook thing. She's written before about the Portland tunnels. Anyway, wanted to let you know you were mentioned on another of my regular podcasts called Graveyard Tales. It was an episode about Peoria State Hospital. Thanks for all you do. Hope to eventually visit Alton and see the museum. Hope you have a lovely and wonderful holiday. Thanks, Karen. Well, thank you, Karen.
Yeah, thank you. And Karen, my heart goes out to you as well. And then thank you for writing in.
Yeah.
I get little mentions and things like that every now and then. And even people saying, you know, my condolences or whatever. Or just say, hey, I really like the podcast. And I want to tell you, like, going out of your way to reach out to creators of stuff that you like and say something positive,
It does a long way.
It's kind of like the Yelp thing. It's like most of the people that like to write in are just mad about something. So when you reach out and just say, like, hey, I like what you do, or like, you know, condolences, but like, it really does make a difference. So thank you so much. And I hope you're doing well.
Yeah. All right. So this one comes to us from the 785, and it also comes to us from our podcast listener of the year. And this one is thinking about the question as to which killers are the creepiest. Remember, we asked that a little while back.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones who communicate. Ooh. I'm so spooked by the still unknown killer of Dorothy Scott in Stanton, California, who kept calling her parents to ask if Dorothy was home after she disappeared. And closer to me in Wichita, Kansas, I am almost more spooked by the time the BTK killer sent an almost victim note that said essentially, quote, I was there. Where were you?
Ooh.
Yeah. So shiver on that happy note, which comes to us from Diana.
Diana.
Starsnick Dean, who is not only uses the pen, the Kansas writer is usually her handle that she uses. She is the author of a book that we've talked about before about a murder in Kansas, which is very well done and I highly recommend. And she is also our podcast listener of the year.
She's been awesome for so long, and
I know
always like chimes in and you know reports things or even just like kind of like hypes us up a little bit.
Yep. I can always count on texts from her. from different things that we're talking about or looking for information on something, or she tags us on Twitter or somewhere else to let us know about something that's happening. And it is always appreciated.
Yeah. So we got to, Troy, we'll figure out something to send to her. We'll do it off air or whatever, but a shirt or a book or something. But like, yeah,
we will.
I know we said it's not a prestigious award, and it's not, but you're going to get free for talking us up. So thank you so much. That's awesome.
So, all right, man. Well, I'm ready. If you're ready, if you want to dive into our movies here.
Okay. So this time, I do still have I have a summary. I have the tagline. I have my suggested taglines.
Oh, good. I love those.
I have like fun facts, budgets, gross, and then I have like notes about stuff. Do you want me to kind of start with the summary and then we'll go on? And
we never put these in order of like 1 to 10, which ones are the best. I just sent them to Cody about what my favorites were, and then he ran with it. And these were my choices for the top. I mean, Cody may have something else. I don't know if you want to add in. I don't know, but okay, well then. But I usually, my job is to watch them and pick them, mm-hmm. and then I give the list to Cody. And then this year you watched them all, didn't you?
I did. I watched all of them. Since I parted ways with my job at Cinema Blend and, you know, watching movies and all that, and usually getting to see them early.
It's a little harder now. Yeah.
Well, it's not only harder. I just like, I don't care as much. But also I like letting you kind of like weed through all the bullshit and then give me just a choice nut.
Oh God. Yeah. Because I should have counted. In fact, I may do that while you're giving a synopsis or something. Yep. And see how many I finished. I only put the ones I finish on there. And believe me, I start a lot of them and turn them off. And these are new ones. That's not even
right.
That's not even just old stuff. That's just new films that came out this year.
Well, hey, and, if you want to check the total, I can talk for a second.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Yeah, I will look and see where we're at here.
Sure. So we have 10 movies that we're going to talk about, and they're mostly 2024 releases. And, sometimes something gets released at a film festival or this and that, but these are basically 2024 releases. And we are going to not talk spoilers. I don't think that you're going to hear anything that you wouldn't get from the trailer, but we do like these movies. If we do something that's blatantly spoilery, I'll cut it out, but we are going to talk about these movies because we do like them, and just expect that we're going to dive into these a little bit. But if nothing else, it's to not give anything away, but to convince you to watch them because we think they're worth your time. And something I noticed about these, Troy, is that we have, out of the 10, we have five very religious movies on the list for 2024.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. Well, you know why it happened? Because, you know, I like them. We've done an entire episodes about religious horror. So, but yeah, I did like all three of those.
But
very much.
But I was thinking something else. It's kind of like movies and culture and how things are like cyclical and kind of keep coming around and themes, you know, after wars and stuff, you get these. And after, like, I was just wondering, is there anything, you know, is there a reason that some of the bigger ones were religious, or is it people coming back to the faith, running away from the faith, or is it
question. It's a good question. I think that's always for a lot of people, I think it's something of interest. For a lot of people, it's also something that's terrifying.
Sure.
Because all of the worst things that have ever happened in the history of the world have all happened mostly because of religion.
Yes.
Of one kind or another, you know, dating back to very, very early recorded history. So, yeah, right. I think that that's always going to be an ongoing theme for horror films.
You find the total that you watched?
Yeah, well, so on my letterbox, I have 78, and according to my total, I watched 98 that I finished, including 20. I didn't even bother but finished them anyway. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many I started. I have absolutely no idea, but it was more than that. You'd be surprised the number of movies. I mean, I keep a very close eye on every single thing that comes out.
You really do.
And I will try everything. I will try it.
Yeah.
And then turn it off if it's horrific. Or sometimes you can just, as I've said before, you can just watch the trailer.
Yeah.
You don't even have to watch the whole trailer sometimes and know that it looks like someone made it at home with their video camera and no one can act. And that's all I have to see. And I'm like, nope, not happening. And so I just don't bother. This is not my job here. So I don't watch everything because I don't want to and I don't have to. So I don't. I just find the good ones and I watch them. So.
Well, it always amazed me that like when I was working at Cinema Blend, we would be working with a certain studio or something. And sometimes we'd land and like close a deal to promote this new trailer that's coming out for a horror movie or something like that. And we would schedule stuff and get it all out, write an article about it, push it out. And then 10 minutes later, whether it was a Cinema Blend article or somebody else's article, you would send it to me and be like, did you see like what's going on here? Or sometimes if we didn't get the deal, you would know about stuff before I did while I was working. And you're like, did you see this? And I'm like, no, but now we're going to write about it.
Yeah. Look at this trailer. Watch this trailer.
Yeah. So you're on it for that. Okay. So the first one that I have is Immaculate.
Yes.
And the summary is Cecilia, a woman of devout faith, is warmly welcomed to the picture-perfect Italian countryside where she is offered a new role at an illustrious convent. But it becomes clear to Cecilia that her new home harbors dark and horrifying secrets. I think that's good enough.
I mean, that's, it gets the point across.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sydney Sweeney.
So, yes,
Sydney Sweeney. Which normally I watch whatever she's in.
Right.
So
that's been a big debate about latest pictures from her because people are saying she's overweight and ugly. And
God.
You guys ever had a thought where you just think about it and then you shut the fuck up?
Yeah, no kidding. Or maybe just do like I always tell people when you get ready to write something that you think is going to inflame people, maybe read it again. And then don't send it. So, but whatever.
I'm sure she's drying her tears with all.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure with all the money she's made. Yeah. So,
the taglines. I think this is OK. It's deliver her from evil. Mm-hmm. I had some other suffering is love. That's a big thing they say in there.
OK.
Not all angels are sent from heaven. I don't know. I didn't really have a good
that one
for this.
Doesn't work. Yeah.
Okay. Fun facts. Sydney Sweeney auditioned for this film in 2014 when she was 17, but the project never materialized. Years later, she took on the role of a producer and reached out to the writer, acquired and revised the script. Jeez. Sorry, guys, I'm sick. Hired a director, find financiers, and then sold the film to Neon, which is nice. The budget was $9 million estimated. Mm. And again, when I say all these things, I'm pulling them from the internet. So take everything with a grain of salt. $9 million budget, gross worldwide is $35 million. And I thought that
seems low.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who knows? I made money, but it seems like it should be higher than that.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions in here, but I think they might be spoilery. So I'm not going to ask them. But something I did want to say before we dive into this, and this might make people a little upset, but I just want to say it. Growing up in the Catholic Church, I went to Catholic school for 9 years. And I just wanted to something I want to point out is just by definition, Immaculate Conception is not the same as a virgin birth. And people tend to confuse it all the time. They commonly confuse the virgin birth with the notion of immaculate conception. So basically, the virgin birth teaches us that Jesus was born of a virgin mother. And the immaculate conception is that Mary was born without original sin. They are very different. I know people are going to get upset, but just
Google it. Well, just Google it. I mean, I could upset people further by telling them that,
I'm only arguing the definition.
Virgin births were, date back to prehistory as a way to, when you knew that a prophet was coming, that's how you knew. Because I mean, it's everything's borrowed. There's nothing new.
Of course.
Let's just leave it alone.
I'm only arguing definitions.
I know.
Check out Genesis 3:15, Luke 1:28. Anyway. I liked this. I thought this movie was okay. I didn't love it. She's a badass in it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was okay. I think I gave it maybe three and a half stars. But these are all your movies.
I gave it a four. I gave it a four. Yeah, I really liked it. I saw this one. Well, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I saw it before I saw the next one on the list. Because the next one on the list is essentially It's not the same story, but it's somewhat close.
There were some parallels.
It's a little more the next one is a little bit more conspiracy laden, I think, where this one was a little Immaculate was a little more body horror-ish. And just outright, you know, horror, where the next one, which I'll just go ahead and say is The First Omen, is a little bit more conspiracy wise, but still good. I really like them both, in slightly different ways.
Yeah. And we've learned years ago, we're not going to tell you where to watch these, because depending on when
it changes all the time,
just Google it.
And
you'll find it out. But let's go to The First Omen. Troy, this is my favorite on the list.
The Omen sequel that no one asked for.
Exactly.
But yet, and you know how I feel about prequels,
right?
You know how I feel about prequels. And yet,
yes,
this one I liked.
So the summary or synopsis, whatever you want to say, a young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church, but encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. The tagline for this one is create something to fear. And I have nothing that can beat that.
I think I think that's a good one.
It's perfect. The fun facts, mostly it was like songs that they had in there playing that were not created yet at the time the movie was supposed to be there.
Whatever. Minor stuff.
Yeah, the others in the original.
I mean, it's a scary nun movie.
Yes.
I mean, really, what do you want? I mean, let's not nitpick, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not bother.
There are some nitpicky things about how it connects to the first one, but you know what? I'm just going to skip that.
I know. Oh, yeah. There are. There's a fact that there's one that's somewhat of a glaring error, but I just left it alone.
Yeah.
So I know I saw
it
too.
I don't think we should.
No, we won't, because it gives too much away.
Yeah. Budget's $30 million. Gross so far, $53.8 million. This is my favorite. There is a scene in here that is very graphic. That I was not expecting. And I don't want to talk more about it, but don't let your kids watch this, I'd say.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
They'll get a warped sense of how things work.
This was
awesome. I expect to just kind of brush it off, to be honest, and it was my favorite of the bunch.
I didn't expect much from it either, just because it's a prequel, and again, it's an Omen prequel that who knew we needed one. But it worked. It was something, you know, different. It didn't follow the same exact kind of, you know, plot line, is because all the sequels to The Omen are uneven, let's say, at best. But, you know, you can't beat the original. Even the 2006 remake isn't bad, but the original is so good. And, I really like it. And I really like what they've done with this. And I think that Nell Tiger Free, who plays the young nun in this, she was in that. I think I talked about that series that I watched on Apple called Servant. That she's in. And if you haven't seen that, and you have Apple TV, you should check it out, because it's very good. It's very disturbing. And it leaves you with a lot of questions, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. I like this too. I liked it a lot. Like I said, I saw Immaculate first. In fact, I saw it like 2 weeks before this came out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you get to some of the plot points, I went, didn't I just watch this?
100%,
you know, 100%. Got a little confused, but it's really good. So yeah, I'll leave it at that. It's a good one. So
there is, I'm not going to go into spoilers, but there is a kind of a call forward, I guess, to, a scene from the original. And I think it ups the ante, like takes it to a different
level. Yeah, it is good. I agree with you.
Yeah, so I'd say, check it out. Again, you know what? Don't watch any of these with your kids. We'll just get that out of the way up front. And in past times, too, I've done like trigger warnings and stuff. I'm not going to do that. It's just a lot of these have fucked up stuff in them. So,
they're
horror films. So just, go at your own discretion. This one was actually the first one that I saw out of the whole list, because everybody had been talking about it so much. Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah.
So the synopsis, a live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. The tagline there's a couple of taglines. The live television event that shocked the nation. Do not adjust your set, which I thought was kind of funny.
That's kind of funny.
You don't know what he sacrificed to get here. And then the only one I came up with was tonight we've got a really big show.
Yeah.
The fun fact is that the Carmichael character is very clearly based, including physically, on real life James Randi. Randi was a talented magician who became a famous psychic debunker, and he started an institute that offered a large reward to anyone that could reproduce their supposed paranormal powers in controlled conditions. Over decades, nobody was able to win the money. I watched a bunch of his stuff, and it was really, really fun for me.
He's insufferable, though.
Well, that much, I only watched a little bit, but I loved it. I said, according to James Alcock, at a meeting where Randi was duplicating the performances of Uri Geller, spoonbending, a professor from the University at Buffalo shouted out that Randi was a fraud. Randi said, yes, indeed. I am a trickster. I'm a cheat. I'm a charlatan. That's what I do for a living. Everything I've done here was by trickery, and they wouldn't believe him.
That's always a problem, too. Yeah. That's gone back for a long time. There's a lot to unpack there. That there's no point in unpacking.
Okay. I thought it was a great film. I hadn't seen anything like it really.
Yeah, no. I think the film is really good. I had a little trouble with the last maybe 10 minutes. It probably would have even been higher on my, I gave it 4 stars, but I might have even gone up another half. If not for, I thought I didn't love the very end. That often happens with a lot of things that, you know, when you don't stick the ending. But up until that point, I thought it was really good. Yeah. I mean, and still do. I mean, it's still really good. I haven't changed my mind about that. I just thought the way that it looks like a talk show from the time period is so well done. It really is. I really like this one. And I'd been jazzed since I had seen a trailer for it like a year before it ever even became available. Yeah. You know, I knew it was coming and had been excited about it. So
this one's a little weird stuff for me, but I hope that it's true, but I don't know. But it does show something that we often see in horror films, that it says the budget was under $2 million and the gross was $15 million. But I would think the budget would be higher just because of how precise it looks like.
Yeah, I know.
Time setting.
But I also, they made this thing pretty, I know it was a pretty low budget film. And yeah. I mean, that seems like a possibility. And I think that the gross probably would have been higher on it, but didn't it go straight to Shudder?
I believe so.
So, actually, you know, a lot of people
on Netflix, actually, I think.
Oh, really? I don't know. I thought it went to Shudder, but anyway, I can't remember. But I remember I didn't pay for it to watch it. So it came out in theaters for like a week, and right. So that's gonna hurt your gross, obviously.
Apparently it's on Hulu right now. I don't know, this is the thing, these things toss.
I know they change all the time. I know.
Yeah, so. But no, I love that one. I definitely recommend checking it out. The next one is Abigail. And I told you that I was watching a different film on this list. I fell asleep, woke up, and then Abigail was playing, and I watched like 2 minutes of it before I knew what it was. And it was like 3/4 of the way through. And I was like, what the fuck?
What happened with that?
Yeah. Synopsis. After a group of criminals kidnap the ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, they retreat to an isolated mansion, unaware that they're locked inside with no normal little girl. The taglines are, children can be such monsters. My taglines were, where is Wesley Snipes when you need him? this is why I hate children.
Yeah.
Taking the sexy out of vampires.
Sure.
There is no honor among thieves.
Yeah. Well, that's accurate, you know, too.
Fun facts. One of Angus Cloud's final roles before his passing in July 2023, although production wasn't completed until months after his death due to the SAG-AFTRA strike, Cloud had filmed all of his scenes before production was shut down. He'd signed an autograph, the Cloud drawing seen above the dedication, for a crew member during his time on set. And Melissa Barrera had printed it on T-shirts for the cast and crew when filming wrapped. So that's very sweet.
Wow.
Yeah, this one, Troy, this is a bloody, bloody vampire.
Oh, it is. It is. It's the same people who did Ready or Not. I mean, you could
perfect
tell.
Yes.
I mean, it's a banger. But yeah, I thought that they gave away too much in the trailer for it.
Oh, okay.
Why did we need to know she was a vampire?
That's very, yeah.
I mean, it could have been anything. I mean, we didn't need to know. They could have made it like a crime caper and then, but put in enough that you knew that it turns into a horror film, yes, a yes. la From Dusk Till Dawn,
yes,
you know,
yes,
because
yes,
we yes. never saw that coming. When that movie came out, I went to see that at the theater and I had absolutely no, that was Tarantino was hot at the time,
yep.
and he was in it. He didn't, you know, he directed Robert Rodriguez.
He just
did,
wanted to do some foot stuff,
you know? And so you had no idea that it was not a crime film. And then this, maybe they just assume people are too stupid now, which is fair.
Yeah, yes.
But I mean, that's the only excuse that I can come up with as to why they gave it away. Yeah. You know, well, it's kind of like Trap. Why did they tell us Josh Hartnett was a serial killer to start with? Was that necessary? I don't know.
I have such a spoiler Maybe. Question to ask you and I can't. Yes.
I don't know. Yes. Anyway. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to give anything away about the movie, about this movie either. It's got great people in it.
It does.
Really great. Catherine Newton, who I always liked. Giancarlo Esposito is in it. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durand. I really like him, too. It's got great people playing the, you know, the criminals that are brought in to watch over this kid. Yeah. But yeah, it is a very bloody movie, but mm-hmm. it is also a lot of fun because it's like Ready or Not. There's plenty of humor mixed in with the
yeah.
horrific things that are going on. So
absolutely. Yeah. No, I loved it. I like how it, when it follows certain people in the movie and everything compared to who I would think you're going to follow. And yeah, they definitely should have just done. It's a crime movie. A little girl gets kidnapped. And then at the very end of the trailer show that like she's ready to throw down, but you don't know why. You
yeah,
know,
exactly.
And then just end it. Like they could have done that.
Yeah. But I think they you know, and probably rightfully so. I mean, I try to think of how many brain cells were killed across the country during the pandemic. I think we've gotten dumber since then.
Yep.
And I think they just couldn't take a chance on people yeah. not getting it.
So. Well, hey, anybody, think about how dumb the average person you meet is. Remember that 50% of people are dumber than that. Anyway, okay. Infested. Summary. residents of a rundown French apartment building battle against an army of deadly, rapidly reproducing spiders. The tagline is "The invasion begins." I'll take it. Fun fact, 200 giant huntsman spiders were used in this movie.
That no thanks.
And it was a first-time director. The budget was under $1 million. Gross worldwide, $2.4 million. I didn't like this movie, and I don't...
You didn't like it because it was spiders.
I don't...
And because it was subtitles. Don't... You already told me that you were already crying about subtitles.
May I?
Yes.
Okay, let me say my piece. I did tell Troy there were two... actually, the next one, too. Two movies on here with subtitles. It's not that I would prefer subtitles over dubs. Absolutely.
Oh, God. Yeah.
My attention span is it's gotten so fucked and warped from
again
everything. Yeah. Yes, probably. So that part is hard. And I don't mind spiders. If I see a spider, especially if it's crawling on me or whatever, it's small, I'll take it outside or whatever. If I see a big spider, I'm not going to like it, but I'll punch it to death. But I don't like a ton of spiders. So this one. Yeah, it had a lot of things working against it for me. I thought it was fine, but I didn't love it. And it just makes me feel creep crawly. And
well, yeah, I think my thing is I had watched a couple of spider movies. And I don't normally, because I always assume that they're all going to be like arachnophobia, which yeah. I'm not a big fan of.
I like arachnophobia.
This one, this movie was like Wreck. You know, that Wreck, the Spanish, it's not a zombie film, but it's the rage virus thing and the trapped in the building and the apartment building and the
Did
news
we watch
crew
that
is there.
Or something?
Oh, we like, have watched
oh, wreck,
it.
Wreck.
Wreck. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. REC. Sorry.
Dexter like, woman.
Yeah. Oh, yep. No, Spanish that's Quarantine. One. That's the American version.
Right.
Wreck
okay.
is better.
But we did watch Wreck for something
but
else.
But this reminds me of Wreck, but with spiders.
Yeah. I think
and
that's a very good way
I had
to
watched
it.
A couple of other spider movies and they weren't very good. And like I said, normally I avoid that kind of stuff. But this one, I started it and then I got hooked, and then it was just, I thought, terrifying.
Yeah.
Some of those scenes where they're trying to escape from that building and those hallways filled with spiders. And if you've got a phobia of spiders, don't watch this, because no. I wouldn't say I've got a phobia. I don't care for them, but I don't have a phobia. But same. Man, my skin was crawling watching this. I don't know. I really liked it. I said, I don't really like bug movies, but I don't know. I like this one.
And before people come after me, I want to say I am ashamed of my attention span. I know it's not good. It's probably because I'm younger. It's probably because of, due to the pandemic and all that. I'm not happy about it. I'm sorry for it. So don't come at me with anything, because I admit this is a fault of mine.
I was just giving you a hard time.
No. You're right. But I'm just saying don't at me, because. Okay, this next one was my second favorite, actually, on the list.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand how, but it's...
I warned you about this back when I watched it, like, I don't even know, like last May, I had just seen it. And I'm like, I just saw a movie that I cannot even wrap my head around.
So it's called The Coffee Table, and the summary is...
Sounds ridiculous.
It does.
Just the title.
Jesus and Maria are a couple going through a difficult time in the relationship. Nevertheless, they have just become parents. To shape their new life, they decide to buy a new coffee table, a decision that will change their existence. There's a little left out from that, but I think it's pretty good. The tagline is, it'll be your favorite table to have your coffee or an aperitif with your loved ones.
What?
I don't
love it. Yeah, maybe that translates badly. That's what I'm thinking.
That's kind of what I was thinking. The fun fact, the entire film was shot over the course of 10 days, which you can kind of tell. But this, Troy, this is anyone that's ever dealt with, I don't know, even just being too high or taking psychedelics and stuff. But there are things where when you're having a bad time, it focuses in on things, people chewing and people like scraping plates and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's unsettling. It's anxiety invoking, and it's supposed to be. The thing I don't get is they also label it as a dark comedy, and I didn't see one.
Oh God. Goddamn thing. Are you kidding? It is equal parts. What are you hilarious.
How is it hilarious?
This is black comedy here. It is so ridiculously funny that it's okay. Here's the reason I watched it.
Please.
Because I had read what Stephen King said about it.
Okay.
And so the quote from Stephen King was, there's a Spanish movie called The Coffee Table on Amazon Prime and Apple Plus. My guess is you have never, not once in your whole life, seen a movie as black as this one. It's horrible and also horribly funny. So I thought I'd better watch it. And as I said, or as Cody mentioned, it is about a couple. It revolves around a couple with a new baby who buy a coffee table that sounded like a tough sell. And then that, to me, I'm like, what? I mean, that's all I knew about it. And so I started watching it. And once I started watching it, I could not stop watching it.
And I agree with.
I thought it was equal parts. In my review, I said it's equal parts hilarious, shocking, depressing, tension filled, and so disturbing. I can't say anything else about it.
I agree with all of that, aside from the funny part. And also,
I don't know why you're. I'm surprised you missed
this. Is it because the thing under the thing and the like?
Yeah, it's just part? It's so ridiculous that it's funny.
But I think one of the things is it takes place. It
and seems so over, disturbing.
Well, it takes place over what seems like real time, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I like think so. Yeah. A couple hours. Yeah. Even that. Yeah.
And but I didn't. I mean, it's I guess it's comical because it's such a. But no, I was just like, no. And the dog. And I know. I didn't see
it. You know what? This movie is the equivalent of, remember the year before When Evil Lurks is one of my favorites?
Yes.
Remember the dog scene?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like that, except it's the entire movie.
I guess, but I just.
Which wasn't funny, but it was so shocking that's what this. You sit in shock this whole movie.
I was sweating as much as the main character.
I know it is. You are in shock this entire film. It is like a state of shock.
I say you have to watch this movie if you can deal with
rough stuff. Yeah.
The next one, Strangers Chapter One. I'm not going to lie. This is one of my least favorites.
Yeah, I knew you didn't. Yeah, I remember. I knew this was going to be a tough sell for you.
But I do have some thoughts about basically I'll spoil it.
It's
part of a trilogy. And they recorded all of it at once. And so I didn't like it as a
Reboot the earlier film.
Yes, but
the
worse way, I feel like.
Well, I know, but it won't be. I don't think it is, but I think it's just a different version of the story.
Yeah. So I mean, y'all know, but after the car breaks down in an eerie small town, a young couple is forced to spend the night in a remote cabin, a little different, but panic ensues as they're terrorized by three masked strangers who strike with no mercy and seemingly no motive. The tagline is they don't need a reason. My tagline is they're called strangers because these two actors have never met. I thought the acting was garbage.
Oh, no.
Between the two main characters. Now,
I didn't think there was much chemistry, but I wouldn't say that. I thought it was terrible. Well, that doesn't make the acting terrible. It makes the chemistry not great.
Well, it's either the writing or the acting, but one of the two, I wasn't here for it.
I kind of felt like that we were just supposed to get through this one so that we could do something new with the story.
It's the same
basic premise. Because, I mean, that's the point. I mean, of course, it's the same basic premise. It's supposed to be, you know, the strangers retold kind of thing. Right. And there's enough different about it that I thought it was worthwhile. And I think that the second and the third ones will be. And I've seen the trailer for the second one.
I think
they're going to be worthwhile.
I'll read the fun fact.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Rennie Harlan simultaneously filmed all three films of this trilogy. The producer explained that the lead star would film scenes for the first film in the morning and scenes for the second film in the afternoon, commuting to many different locations for filming several times a day. Okay, that's not actually a great fun fact. I don't know why I grabbed that. You'll like this though. The budget was $8.5 million. The gross worldwide, $48 million.
Right.
Already.
Right.
So that's one that definitely made some money. But I know you're talking about the changes and I won't give away anything, but there's one change that they made that I really, really hated. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I'll tell you afterward. Okay. But there's one change that I was just like, you guys just put the nail in your own coffin. But I'm accepting it because it's the first in a trilogy and I am super stoked to see what becomes.
Yeah, I think because they're going in a different direction that we needed the setup had to be along the same premise as the first one. And I agree with you. There are a couple of things that I thought some of the reactions were things that no one would do as far as reacting to the people outside.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, I still really liked it. And I thought it was well done. I liked it. I guess probably I'm a sucker. I'm the perfect audience for it because I love the original so much.
I've seen it
so many times.
Yeah.
I know, but I was okay with doing something new.
Fair enough.
And so I didn't mind them making some changes and taking things in a slightly different direction because I think they're really going to go in a different direction in 2 and 3. And they're already done. They're filmed.
They're already finished.
The movies are finished. They're just waiting for release.
So. I'm here for it. Yeah, check out Cinema Blend, Cody Beck, Scariest Horror Movies of All Time. You'll see the figures on there on YouTube. Okay. Ooh, long legs.
Yeah.
Summary. In pursuit of a serial killer, an FBI agent uncovers a series of occult clues she must solve to end his terrifying killing spree. The tagline is, every year there is another. I tried to come up with a different tagline, like sometimes it's better not to meet the person downstairs or your downstairs neighbor. I couldn't really say that. You know what I mean? fun facts that many of Longleg's encrypted messages contain misspellings and poor grammar after being decoded. This is an homage to the Zodiac Killer, who is also known for his coded messages containing typos, which often made it more difficult to decode his message. I kind of love that because it's like, oh, you think you're so fucking smart. And it was these teachers that decoded your stuff and they're like, he fucked up right here, like, you fucking idiot. You know, in the real life. Budget $10 million. What do you think the gross was, dude? This is the biggest discrepancy.
I'm gonna say 75.
126 million.
No kidding. Well, I believe it. I mean, the way they promoted this thing leading into it, there was so much promotion with teasers that told us nothing.
Yes.
And that I think really got people going. I think the marketing was brilliant on this thing. Nicolas Cage was absolutely terrifying.
Unhinged.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not
think
talking
he's,
face off unhinged. I'm talking
I think
unhinged.
He's, I know, I was going to say, I think he's unhinged on a regular basis, but this was super unhinged. And I thought
he did a great job.
He did a really great job with this. And that, I think, was what sold it also, again, for a lot of people. And the girl from It Follows, yeah, she was great. And honestly, I like Oz Perkins. I like his movies. The Black Coat's Daughter is still one of my all-time favorite Dredd movies.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you should watch it sometime. It's really good. I rewatch it. It's a great winter film, you know, like The Lodge. You know, yeah, it's one of those movies you watch in the wintertime and you can kind of feel it. That's what this is. You know, a girl stuck at school on winter break, her dad's supposed to be coming to get her. That's all I need to tell you. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm gonna tell you, but you gotta watch it. I think you'd really like it. Because you and I both really like some of that kind of stuff. You're not always as hot on it as I am with the slow burn, but I would equate it with The Lodge, that kind of burn.
The Lodge
and it's really well done.
The Lodge and Longlegs were slow burns that definitely were still able to keep my attention. I haven't figured out the difference yet can't pay attention and when I keep it, but this one definitely did.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and another thing about this is the misconception that this was like a serial killer film. It's not. It's just a horror film that, you know, has supernatural elements. It has this killer involved, but there's so much more going on here that just calling it a serial killer movie is a big mistake.
And you wrote that in your Letterboxd review, I remember.
Yeah, I did, because it's one of those things that you don't want to go into this thinking that it's just a serial killer movie. But so good.
I also love the score. It's very there's like four of them, five of them. Red Door. Insidious. It's very Insidious-like with like the string instruments.
It is.
And also like a sharp camera shot sometimes that just cut off.
Yeah.
And things like that and just leave you hanging. And
I know.
It's upsetting, but it's not a serial killer film.
I would put this really, if I was trying to rank these, this would be probably my number two.
And this might actually take over Coffee Table for me. I'm not positive yet, but it's definitely top three easy. And I could probably bounce around the three of them. And I think, I can't really say it. It's just, there's brutal stuff that I wasn't in situations I was not expecting. Stuff.
Yeah. That's, you know what I mean? That's fair. Yeah. Good way to, good way to put it.
126 million. Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. We have two more left. Let's talk about Oddity.
Yes.
So the summary is, a psychic medium attempts to uncover the truth behind her sister's murder at the site of a crime.
That does not even remotely cover anything.
I was
that
very confused. Not, yeah. I was very confused about the sisters and stuff after reading the synopsis. So the tagline is, every murder lives on. I don't like that. My tagline was, you can never unring a bell.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one too. Never bring a wooden man into your house and put him at the table.
Yes.
Because this is, you know what it reminded me of, right? Mm. The Oddity reminded me of, remember Terrified a few years ago?
Yeah.
With the kid sitting at the table.
Yes.
Oh, and I said to you, I said, I've never seen anything like this before.
Yep.
That's what this reminded me of. The opening to this film is so fucking scary.
Yes.
With the guy at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it already grabs you to take off. And then it slows down for a while.
It does.
Until it starts to, you finally start realizing, well, when the thing at the table, that's all I have to say. That's all I've got to say about this movie. And it's just, it's so unsettling. And it is, I love this movie. I thought it was so good.
I really, really love the ending. The fun fact though is related to kind of what you're talking about. The guy at the door, and this isn't giving away any spoilers, anything you wouldn't see in the trailer, but apparently
I think that's in the trailer. Yeah.
So there's a short film titled How Olin Lost His Eye from 2013, which features Olin as a central character. Watching this film provides insight into his character arc, which is resolved here. It's part of Damien's collection of short films, all set within the same universe. Did you know that?
Mm, I did not know that. No.
I didn't either. We have to check that out.
Well, I've got to check it out because, yeah, I didn't need to know because it was so frightening anyway. But now that I do, now I got to check it out. So, all right. Good to know.
I couldn't find the budget. It says gross worldwide is 1.5.
Yeah. Million. Irish. Yeah. It's an Irish film. Yeah. So probably didn't even release it that way.
It's awesome. It's upsetting. You see how terrible people can be. And
well, and the end will seem predictable at first. That's one of the things I noted about it. The end seems to be predictable until it's not.
I loved the last 10 seconds. I love the last 10 seconds. Yeah.
So good.
Last one on our list is Heretic. This is the first one. This was the, I watched, I watched Late Night with the Devil initially, but then when I got your list, I watched Heretic first. Summary is two young religious women are drawn into a game of cat and mouse in the house of a strange man. The tagline is question.
That doesn't even begin to cover it.
The tagline is question everything. I'm not going to actually say my tagline because I think it's too spoilery, but I'll tell you after. Fun facts. Hugh Grant once stated in an interview, "I'm getting bored of playing obvious roles and being typecast." So the writer, director, Scott Beck and Brian Wood saw this interview and wrote the role of Mr. Reed with Hugh as their top choice for the role. And I think he crushed it.
Oh, God, he did. He was so good in this. I mean, I've seen him skeezy in a few things, but nothing evil. Not like this.
In a weird, and, like, subtle evil.
And in a friendly kind of evil.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a better way to describe it. The budget was under $10 million. This is the second biggest discrepancy. So budget under $10 million. What do you think the gross was?
It's got to be high. 95?
42.
But still, though. Yeah. Still
great. This was, I think, probably the most mind fucky out of all of them.
Yeah, this is like, my number one on the list year. This would I would have put this at number one. I the writing in this was so genius.
It was really good.
I mean, it was just so perfectly written, and he plays it so well, and the way he twists everything around on these girls. Oh my God, it was good. I mean, even if you knew, all I'm going to say, blueberry pie. That's all I'm going to say. Even if you know what's going on, you could almost believe it. You could almost believe what he says, you know? But yeah, I love this. I left the theater just like so pumped, you know, with this, with how fascinating this whole thing was and really how scary it was. There's a couple of scenes that are I did not see coming. Yeah. And in addition to just great writing and great acting and man, Hugh Grant, so good. I can't remember any like heavy gore or anything in it.
Not really.
You know, so it's one of those movies where if you're not going to be offended by some of the religious stuff in it, as far as him, like, you know, questioning things that you know, about the Bible and about other things. It's definitely, I highly, highly recommend this movie. So good. And it is out at home now. All right. Well, guys, I guess we're going to wrap this up on behalf of Cody and I. Thank you for listening. Thanks for sticking with us for this entire season that we did. Home was one of my favorite ones so far. It was a pretty long season. And we are ready for season 9. I've got the outline. I got it over. It's on its way to Cody. And so we are good to go with the next one. So you'll be hearing from us soon. We'll be putting out a trailer for the season, except for, you know, if you remember some of my trailers, it's pretty much an entire episode. But, you know, we're going to call it a trailer because it's sort of a sneak preview of the season. But that'll be coming up before you know it. Tickets go on sale for the Haunted America Conference January 6th, February 1st, at Dead of Winter. We've got all kinds of stuff going on this winter. I don't want to hear any of you complain that there's nothing going on in the wintertime, because there is. We have lots of stuff happening, not the least of which is every weekend come to the American Oddities Museum. And I say every weekend because you practically can, because I'm constantly bringing in new stuff and changing things. I can't help it. It keeps me from rearranging all the furniture at home all the time because I get to rearrange things there. So, to steal from The Greatest Showman, if you haven't been here in a while, it's like you've never been here at all. So there you go.
Yes.
Anyway, guys, so thanks a lot. We'll be in touch with all of you, hopefully soon. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for all of your recent help, and have a great and happy holiday season, and we'll talk to you in 2025.
Yeah, and since this isn't a normal episode, I'll just say goodbye.
So long, and see you later.
All right.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.